100 Word Stories. Welcome, everyone, to the 100 Word Stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. Today is Sunday, so it's time for the weekly challenge. That's where I post the topic, and you come up with the story. And quite a few people did come up with the story. Quite a few of stories, perhaps. Let's go ahead and listen to them. Who first? Well, the person who sent in their story first. And that's Thomas from up thereabouts. Thomas, tell us a story.
If nothing else, she knew how to act. At 5'2", she was a bundle of energy and talent. Little Dina, Miss Dina to her friends, could sing, dance, and act. Her roles consisted of little girl and old lady parts. She retired after teaching at an exclusive girls' school in the San Francisco Bay Area and devoted time to her husband and her beautiful garden. She still practiced the black arts, that is, she and her trio of black Siamese mixes. Both she and the cat stalked and ate field mice and the hapless songbird that landed in the garden. Tommy cheated on the ACT. He paid an older and smarter boy to take the test. His score jumped from 11 to 35 after hiring his doppelganger. The high score would assure his entrance into the college of choice. Tommy was going into the law. Although cheating on an important exam was a bad start for a lawyer, his desire to go into criminal law was an apt fit. Also, Tommy had no conscience whatsoever. Never did, never will. Perfect for corporate law, too. He went on to graduate and work with Monsanto, Dow, and the El Chapo Guzman family. Foss didn't act appropriately at church, school, or when riding on public transportation. All other times, he was a perfect gentleman. No one could figure out the connection, but a clever man from Austin, Texas, put two and two together and discovered that the seating at church, school, and on the bus had similar properties. Poor Foss had a serious allergy to naugahyde. Naugahyde was made from the skins of the naga, an odd creature native to Sumatra. Exposure to the off-gassing of the material affected Foss in such a way that he would babble and recite Bible verses, trembling uncontrollably. The large block letters painted on the big back window act to warn the birds in the garden from flying into the glass. After witnessing a bird taking its last breath, a speck of blood coming from its mouth, he was sick. He went to the garage, found an old can of white paint and a brush, and immediately painted the words, "No birds," on his window. The warning had been there for 2 years, and no poor little birds have been hurt since. It is ugly, and the electric meter reader looked puzzled the first time she saw it. Acts Chapter 20, verse 30 reads, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." This was on the poster for the Fourth Friday poetry reading at the local coffee shop. It was a hook to recruit students for TJ's writing workshop. It was subtle, but those that read the poster were curious enough to ask what the author of the poster meant. And he shrugged and he said he thought it was catchy and quoting Bible verse might entice some to join or pull in some of the atheists, Wiccans, and agnostics.
Thank you, Thomas. Hey, agnostics. That gives me an idea. Ooh, a Christmas story among eggs. It would be Easter. Some of the eggs refused to be dyed.
they don't believe. And then they were cracked and put into the frying pan of perdition.
See, that's how stories are developed. You get ideas from other people, like Thomas. Or you can get ideas from, say, Jeffrey Fisher. He's got ideas. Let's hear a few of them.
Hello, Jeffrey Fisher here with my entries for this week's 100-word stories weekly challenge. Before I get started, though, just wanted to wish Lawrence and the podcast a happy 8th anniversary. 8 years is a long time for anything. I'll have to say 8 years ago, I had less gray hair than I do now. So congratulations on that. I know I'm a relative newcomer to this podcast. So here's hoping for another 8 years or more. Anyway, on with the stories. The story is called Act of God. The insurance company said the flood was an act of God. They pointed to tiny print in my contract and wouldn't pay a dime. Act of God? More like poor maintenance by the water company, letting a water main break. What's insurance for, anyway? Well, we'll see what those suits think of an act of God when they arrive at their burned-out shell of an office tomorrow. God starts fires, right? If they still don't pay, God and I know where each of those suits lives. My next story is called The Heist. Act naturally, Jose told me. We lounged against the brick wall of the Main Street Savings and Loan, trying to look like two guys having a conversation, rather than two guys on the lookout for any cops who might wander into the bank at the wrong time. Everything was cool until the alarm sounded. Buzz and Rodrigo ran out, masks still on, a bag of cash in each hand. Two security guards followed, guns drawn. Even then we might have escaped, melting into the crowd. Then Buzz slapped a bag into my hand and said, "Nice work, Slim. Here's your share," before jumping into a waiting car. Acting naturally doesn't help when your accomplice is an idiot.
Another 8 years? Another 8 years? Oh, I don't think I can handle just 1 year. Oh, thank you, Jeffrey.
Hello, Tinny.
Not only is it 8 years, I think it's five cats as well. T.S. Eliot measured out time in coffee spoons. I'll measure it out in cats.
Yeah, now we got this little baby girl.
Little nut bar. Constantly grooming.
Yeah, you're just not perfect enough. That's okay, kitty. You're as fucked up as they all are. Alright, next up, Richard.
Speaking of folks who are relatively new to the campaign that never ends stories. Oh, I'm not doing my laundry right now. It's raining, you see? So I can't... Well, there are storm fronts coming through, and maybe if it lets up a little, then I'll dash something over to the laundry room. I just don't want to get caught up in the avalanche of, just got back from church. Oh, let's get our good church t-shirts and cutoffs in the machine so they're ready for anew. So, here's Richard.
Well, hello everyone, and greetings from the land where the sun never shines. This week's word was act, and here's my stories for this week. First one is called Dilemma. How should I act? Always that same question. Should I be bold and brash, or cool and confident? Should I project assertiveness, or show off my sensitive side? Inevitably, I knew I'd get it wrong, and as always, it would end in complete disappointment. Whether it was an interview, a first date, or that all-important business meeting, you could always guarantee that I'd blow it. People would try and be helpful, but always the advice was the same. Just be yourself. The thing is, it's never quite as simple as just being yourself. when you suffer from having multiple personalities. This story is called Acts of Heroism. I've no time for Superman and his heroic services to justice. He's not my idea of a hero. I'd like to see him take on the forces of evil without his superpowers. Because when you have the strength to move mountains, laser vision, lightning speed, and can fly, it's no big deal. I'd probably be doing the same in his position. What I'd like to see is Clark Kent have a go. Without the cape and the bulletproof skin, let's see him protect the citizens of Metropolis with only his glasses and briefcase to protect him. Now that would be heroic. This story is called Act Two. My agent glared at me. I'd promised him a completed draft, and now with only 5 minutes before meeting the producers, all he had was the first act. Which was a shame, because most of the action and my cunning twist in the plot all happened in the second act. I'd spent weeks working on that second act, poured all my creative skills into writing it, but all I had now was a pedestrian first act that lacked any real merit. It was there when I caught the bus this morning, but somewhere on the journey, I'd lost the plot. And finally this week, this is Acting on Instinct. Although the situation was completely novel to him, George's instincts kicked in. Almost without thinking, he knew exactly how to act. Rule one, he thought. Find cover and get to know your environment. It was a good start, but it had been a while since he'd needed to rely quite so heavily on instinct. So for now, rule two would just have to wait. Running in a semi-crouch he picked up from the movies, he skirted a wall and, keeping a careful watch rearwards as he ran, failed to see the trouble straight ahead he was about to run into. And that, my friends, is that for this week. Speak to you next week. Goodbye.
The land where the sun never shines. Oh, that's where people stick it. Cool. Just found out. Ooh, can you give me GPS coordinates? Then we can gather up all the things that people stick and, well, we'd have to wash them first and then sell them on eBay. Okay, maybe that's not funny. Thank you, Richard, for leading me into that bad joke. Someone who's never a joke, someone who's damn serious, is Steven the Nuclear Man. In fact, I think there's a... I'm looking on Chateautry here, okay? And I've hacked Chateautry's word list to the point where you can come up with some really good... Like damage. You can cut off the edge, you've got damn. Cocktail? And they thought they were going to hide all the naughty words. Well, the medical space one has bones, so you can have your dad bones your mom like an animal. So you can have some real fun with the Chateautry now. The problem is, if you didn't get the Valentine pack, I don't think you can get love or like anymore. And like is pretty important, because that lets you do similes. Spoken like a technical writer, I guess. You know, because love and like are very important to procedures involving web disks and appliance control and FTP and IP management. So here's Steven the Nuclear Man, his story. Spacing is important here. I just got to tell you that. So watch your spacing, people.
Come on, the bear says, gestures with a paw, a grin. Let's catch some fish. The tiger follows the bumbling oaf. Her bumbling oaf. her deliberate paw steps behind the crash and crunch of him plowing through the bush. She pretends to learn to fish. In their cave feasting, warm fish flesh sliding, gills tickling taste buds, the bear idly says he knew the spot. He learned it from a friend, a she-bear he knows. His words crash and crunch. As he lay asleep snoring, bear snores paw across her fur. She plots and plans how best to kill a bear.
Oh, well done. Well done, sir. One of these days I'm going to go to one of these cons and just go up to you and say, "Well done, sir." And my monocle will fall out of my eye and we'll all have a good belly laugh as opposed to a, I don't know, ankle laugh. What's an ankle laugh? Oh, thank you. It's even Balticon. Balticon. Pencil me in for next year's Balticon because now I know that there is a Drabble competition. So when I'm under the gun, oh, I write some really fucked up stuff. So, speaking of which, I was under the gun when I made, here, your dad, here, William Shatner says it's better.
Your head is up your butt.
You see? You can hack the words. Headache becomes head, which is sort of like head. Maybe I need to work on it a little more. Right. How about instead of boring you with all sorts of weird chatisms, which is at chateautry.com, an app for various phones and tablets and caplets and suppositories. Muncie, let's see what he's calling us this month. Hopefully not maybe.
Greetings, justice friends. Muncie here with a story for you and a new nickname. I'm calling you the Justice Friends this month, because here on the 100 Word Story Weekly Challenge, it's just us friends writing the stories. Clever, right? Also, I'll be expecting you to fight crime this month, but that's neither here nor there. Story time! Dinner Theater's More Dangerous Than You Think, by Christopher Monroe. During Act Two, she had a heart attack. She collapsed. Friends rushing to the lobby to summon an ambulance, paramedics, the whole process. And nobody told the actors. With stage lights to blind them, none of them had any inkling what was going on amongst the crowd, so they continued the show. Though they did realize at some point that they'd lost them. The laughter, so freely flowing during Act One, had stopped, and they were baffled as to why. They thought it was somehow their fault, and I had to explain to them that it wasn't them who died up there. This week's story is brought to you by the letter J, the number 4, and the patio book Broken Escalator. Follow me on Twitter at MunzyMunzy for more dumb nonsense. But seriously, I do expect you to fight crime at some point this month, so start thinking about what you'll be doing to earn your position in the Justice Friends.
I don't know. Let me think. Let's. Ooh, have we had the topic of justice yet? Or just? We can do that. Hold on. Open up a window. Just. There we go. So I've got a bunch of words on this list that we'll see which ones I check out. Yellow for certain. Anonymous. Accident. Pork. That one might get an explicit tag. Spark. Danny was like, Nancy Grace. So, like, Grace, unless I've already had that. Have we had billions? I thought we had, we either had millions or billions. And just. So, playing with some of the words that y'all have sent or ones that have jumped out at me. Maybe by then, there'll be an earthquake, so we'll wind up doing, okay, let's do a story about earthquakes. And, see what happens. But until then, how about a story from Tom? Tom, are you ready? Okay. He's got his storytelling hat. Do you have a storytelling hat? Ooh.
Have we ever had the word hat? I don't know. Let's add that to the list. Hat. Look that up. See, what I do is I do a search within the WordPress thing for hat. And I'm going to start loading up new story episodes. I'm recorded all the way through November, and I've got stories written through May of 2015. So I've got some catching up to do. And I'm not just going to rattle them off. You know, Frank Sinatra in the booth. Okay, next one. No, this one, I'm going to put my heart and soul into each and every one of them. They'll be like Horcruxes. No. Okay, here's some.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and I've got a mini update. Last week, I forgot to note Tura also passed Ellison. He's tied with Cliff at 78 stories, respectively. Jeffrey moves ahead of Jeffrey into the 22nd place. The triumphant return of Beauchamps brings their collective total to 94 stories, which puts him one ahead of our good friend Caleb Bullen, a mere 6 stories shy of Golden Monkey status. And tonight's story is called Brush Up Your Shakespeare. Renfrews are more insidious than yeast cultures, but the granddaddy of them all is the Northern California Fair. A few summers ago, I volunteered to play in a DIY Shakespeare show. It was a cross between 6 characters in search of an author and dueling Brandos. Random lines delivered from one of the bard's work would get totally disjunctive replies from another work. My line was inconstant moon, but that's not what I yelled out. Oh, swear not by the moon, but by the incontinent moon, that monthly changes in her circular orb, lest that thy love prove likewise variable.
Ah, yes, the incontinent moon. Which, how big of a diaper do you think they had on the Apollo 11 mission? Oh, thank you, Tom. All right, keep going, keep... Ooh, Lizzie! Lizzie's here! Ooh, I like this one. Ooh, a word that has multiple meanings. Faint. That's going on the list. I'm just going to record a bunch of the topic episodes in advance. And then if I vanish, you people will just, you know, keep stuffing things into the weekly challenge folder and no one will ever answer it. And then Google will say, his mailbox is full. You may want to just clear out some of the crazy sounds and spammy nudie pics and all the sales at Macy's. Although I did turn off the Macy's. I have a Macy's card, but I just got it to get like 20% off one transaction, like a scarf. And then, the hell with it. I get Signals. I get... No, I don't get Barnes & Noble, since I don't feel terribly noble, and I'm not Amish, so I'm not going to raise a barn. Some of the stores actually do get Trani syrups. I see the sales, and I think, oh, crap, I just bought 3 of those. They never put the pumps on sale. I guess you'd have to go to Zappos for that. So here's Lizzie and her story.
He hated publicity. Oh no, no one was going to control him. He only did what he liked and not what they wanted. The problem started when he fell in love. He was not the master of his own life anymore. Everything depended on her. He would go to the cafeteria just to see her, and he waited for her at the supermarket to help with the heavy shopping bags. This lasted months until he saw an outdoor publicity that said, "Act," and that's what he did. He simply kissed her. I did succumb to publicity after all, he thought. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com and check out irez.com. I'm posting a new story there, and the story is called It Takes a Village. It's inspired by the setting of Goatswood, a sim in the virtual world Second Life. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
She said Goatswood. Wood. Goat's wood. Sorry. Thank you, Lizzie. How long has it been since Beavis and Butthead have been on air? Is that... That's a little dated, I guess. That's okay, I am too. Probably, if I were milk, I'd be horribly expired. Oh, speaking of which, need to go grocery shopping. Yeah. Yeah. Gotta get yogurt, milk. I've got enough salad stuff, but I probably need more romaine lettuce. Probably need a red onion. Tinny, do you want some cat food? No? Okay, never mind. She tried to steal my toast this morning. It was like, I like toast, I like toast. She sniffed, 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 and just was about to grab the corner. I was like, yank! No! No toast for you, little dusty kitty. I'm cruel. But what I am is fair. And let's be fair about Serendipity Haven and her story. Ready? Here it is.
He doubted that many loathed children quite so fervently. He hated everything about them, from their shrill screams and puerile giggling, to their sticky fingers and snotty noses. Grimly, he wondered how anyone could like the little buggers. Yet he knew from experience that parents doted on them and could see no wrong in their delightful progeny. As he trudged through the wet grass, the clamor of young voices reached his ears, and he shuddered. Grimacing, he straightened his bow tie, pulled aside the canvas doorway, and fell into the ring. The children cheered as the clown began his act.
I can deeply sympathize with him. As the main clown of this podcast, just the children. The children! Oh, sorry. Thank you, Serendipity, for bringing back that painful memory. It's covered with spines. Ew. How about some more stories? Yeah, sure, okay. Oh, the rain has let up a bit. Although, what's the point of worrying about the rain taking the laundry out to the laundry room? Because it's just going to get really wet in the machines. Sometimes I don't think. And other times... what other times? Oh, the other times are when Sing has his... What? There's only one story? Oh. Okay. Is something wrong? No? Okay. I just had to ask. Here's Sing.
Blow Up Bed by Chris Mooney-Singh. Don't overact, Maylene. Just go with the moment. The shoot was in a luxurious condominium pool next to the jungle. Floating naked on the blow-up bed, she was trying to cover up with a banana leaf. Johnny, the male lead, eyed her lustfully.
Are you director? First you say you use my dummy for this part. Now you change.
Sorry, no budget, sweetheart.
This is very difficult.
Look, you want the job?
Yes, but...
Take it or leave it.
But, Marty...
Relax, believe me, this will kickstart your career.
Oh, no!
Okay, open the crocodile cage, now!
Dang, that's harsh. But fun. Thank you, Sing. How are things going over there? Sorry, I'm not supposed to do the small talk during these things. It's one way, and I won't get answers in the comments, because no one ever comments. Good. That means I don't have to approve them. I can just wipe them out with all the spam. See? Makes it easier. You don't want my life to be hard now, do you? All this pointing and clicking, oh, it's so terrible compared to working in a diamond mine. Oh. Speaking of blood diamonds, another valuable but controversial... Where am I going with this? How about I just say, here's Cliff, Uncle Monster, and then just shut the hell up?
Acting is in the blood, or so the saying goes. There are snobs who say that only Shakespearean theater is true acting. Others say that you must do the Greek tragedies. On the other hand, those who do beer commercials are technically actors. Most people accept that if you stand in front of a camera or on a stage and you say words that someone else wrote, then you are an actor. Some of us have more stringent standards. Acting is in the blood, but actors are an acquired taste. A wise vampire is selective about the actors he chooses.
Yummy! Woohoo! Have we ever done vampires? I hope we do. If we haven't, we will. And if we have, we should do it again. I think we've done a few challenge topics multiple times. It doesn't matter. Maybe we'll just do the same topic over and over and over again. And it'll be bunnies. Or we can do a pick two. I don't have any pick twos lined up. I just... Sometimes, some people like them, some people don't. I don't care. It's when I like them, and right now I don't like them. So, deal with it. What? Oh, okay. Ishtar has returned. It's Relay for Lifetime, so, of course, Ishtar returns for another Relay for Life thing. So, if you haven't given generously to Relay for Life, please do. If you haven't, if you've given generously to Relay for Life, keep giving until you can't afford shoes. You have to walk around barefoot or with socks on. You can put on like 5 socks. It's almost as good as a shoe, right? All these barefoot runners running long distance barefoot, those folks know what they're doing. So you can commute like that. It's not like you're going to step in too much disgusting things. I think. Maybe I should just read the story. Okay, here we go. I wanted to write a 100-word story about acting out. Act out and be who you really are. Express yourself with all your potential. But I wasn't sure how it would work. Don't we do that every day? Sure, acting out can be fun, interesting, or challenging. I want to act out more daily to keep sane while looking for work. But today, I decided, why not have fun doing it? Dress up like a superhero. Dress up in steampunk. Heck, even run with scissors. Act up, I say. Act like a dinosaur. Running with scissors. Hey now, velociraptors are dangerous enough. Don't go giving them scissors. I'm warning you. And don't go running around the pool. Half hour after you've eaten and... I think I've done a story about that. I've done a story about everything. I'm running out of things to write stories on. I've said that every damn year, haven't I? I keep whining. Stop whining! Oh, you know in Chateautry, he has the word wine, W-I-N-E, so you can make that sound like wine, W-H-I-N-E. Homonyms. They're your friends, until they borrow $50 and never return it, and they wreck your car. Damn homonyms. Oh, right, I should read a story from Red. God, I'm just reading them all today, aren't I? All right, let's see what Lola's up to now. The tease. Like, stroking and never releasing, right? Okay, here's Lola. A warm, soapy shower can wash away Lola's daily aches. This morning, though, she has too much on her mind to linger under the water. She stepped out and glanced at the foggy mirror. She can see her curves, the silhouette of her habits. 30 more pounds before she becomes the mere image of her estranged mother. The stress is stretched to her belly and hips. Even though she grew up a world away from her, when cornered, she acts just like her mother. Her worst fear is now a reality, becoming the woman who abandoned her. Her body, too, is steering towards a bigger betrayal, forcing her to face her past. Uh-oh. More trouble ahead. Ah, that darn Lola. You know, if you ever turn it into a novel or a TV series or the life of Lola, who would play Lola? Who do you think would play Lola? I don't know. Who do you imagine playing? You know that, God, who is that chick with the butt? She would insist, but then, I don't know, maybe not, it wouldn't be Beyonce, I know that. She's too busy going to Cuba. Let's see, who would do it? Oh, I know, Gilbert Gottfried. Okay, Gilbert Gottfried will play Lola. There you go. Problem solved. There you go, Red Goddess. Saved you the trouble. Give him a call. While you're calling him, how about I play Norval Joe's story and see what he's up to? Macabre thing. The Masters of Macabre, or Macaws. I tried writing a story and it was about parrots. Macabre Macaws. It was scary parrots. So, here's Norval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press and of the Master of Macabre, begging you again, please write a 10-minute story if you're a man. Otherwise, if you're a woman, go to the Wicked Women Writers Contest at horroraddicts.net. But this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 371 with an active prompt. Okay, with a prompt of act. First, if I could eat one participant from the weekly challenge, it would be Space Turtle. Space Turtle soup. Good. Well, here's my story. A girl in a bright yellow sundress held her soldier's arm and smiled up at him, tears in her eyes. Senator Pork Pocket wrapped an arm around the soldier, eyed the television cameras with a broad smile, and made a thumbs up with his other hand. Our state stands behind our young men serving abroad, and we stand behind those who return to us so bravely. The soldier, the boy, shifted his crutch to maintain his balance on his new prosthetic leg. He stood tall, brave, and stoic, his eyes fierce. In their own way, each knew it was an act. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. The wiener dog played dead. Who said you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Durgle hoped it was just an act.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that again. Oh, someone actually listens to my babbling in the, yeah. 8 years. 8 years of this. The weekly challenge has been going on for 7. I wish I golfed. Thank you, Norval Joe. And thank you, delicious, delicious Space Turtle. Who's coming up right now? How about that? How's them turtles? Huh? It's turtles all the way down.
Dear Space Turtle, Justin Lemaster here from thespaceturtle.com, where I've actually been blogging at thespaceturtle.com. Been writing stories, backstory of my character on Star Trek Online. And after missions, I've been taking screenshots and posting sort of a recap in character, because it's a writing exercise, and I'm a giant nerd. This week's story is about the game Stacking. It's a game where you play as a Russian nesting doll, who is the smallest, the youngest of a family of such nesting dolls. And it's a puzzle game. It's a adventure game. You gotta go solve problems using different abilities. You can actually slip inside a bigger next size up doll and have different abilities which you use to solve puzzles. It's quite fun. Here is this story. The soundtrack provided for the story is from the game. My father went to work one day, but he never returned. Soon mother had sold everything and the debts were due. So the collector man came and took my brothers and sisters away to pay for the debts. He didn't take me because I was too small. I'll show him. I'll show everyone. I'm going to rescue my brothers and sisters. Whether they be on land, sea, or air, I will find them. And I will bring them home to mother. Maybe I will find father when I'm out there. Then we can all be a family again, together.
That's pretty cool, a Matryoshka game. I like it. Let's get 10 billion, as long as it's not like Tetris. I'm sick of freaking Tetris. Oh, thank you, Justin. I wonder what Cracked is saying about the Matryoshka game. Cracked.com. Man, just that, and Beware the Hairy Mango? Matthew Sanborn Smith, wrapped up Mucho Mango Madness Mayo, whatever the hell it is. And it stopped raining, so I'm going to go switch the laundry. But while I'm doing that, Danny, he's right here. Yep. How angry do you think he's going to be this week? On a scale from 9 to 10, let's find out.
Hello, hello, Danny Dwyer here. With Weekly Challenge 371, Act. The level of violence is off the scale. What do you think? Nancy Grace asked. What, right now? I responded. No, tomorrow night, the bitch replied. What a relief. I hate thinking under pressure. Which leads me to realize we are actually doing our children a favor, sending them to a cold concrete box called school, pretending they can learn in such a cold cinder block environment. We are not teaching them how to think nor act, how to stand on their own two feet. We are just teaching them how to behave within an unreasonably structured society. Then the FBI stormed in.
Yay! That'll silence her crazy. Have you ever seen, actually watched, just over and over? It's a scary. She looks with HD and all the filters and all the Vaseline they put on the lens. Looks like a Odo. You know? It's just wrong. Wrong, I tell you. They ought to just replace her with a Max Headroom puppet. Oh, right. Thank you, Danny. Just enough commentary. I should just read these and just say thank you and laugh a little bit and say, hey, how's that Masters of the Macabre and Mistresses of the whatever? And no, that's not what you come here for. You come here for stories. And occasionally there are stories between the stories. But there are no stories between the stories of Tura. Have we done billions yet? I'm not sure. I got a... Ooh, Emperor. Throne? No, I'm trying to get a lot of good words.
Trying to mine for a lot of good words here. Do we have new? No. Okay. I'm gonna mine a little bit for words and do here, Tura.
When a new emperor is installed, he proclaims his first act, which is customarily to execute the previous emperor's advisers for disloyalty. Some also execute the senior secretaries and generals. When Kang Sheng ascended the Peacock Throne, he proclaimed his first act against the country itself for having changed its allegiance to every new emperor down the centuries. General Wei declared, "Let us truly grasp the significance of this emperor's superlative first act." That night, the emperor's guards imprisoned him, while a new emperor was installed, whose first act was only to execute Kang Sheng. Thereafter, the first act fell into disuse.
You know, I think I'm going to do a first act of executing all the previous cats when a new cat is installed. So, Tinny, go take care of Mist. Tura. Oh, Tinny did a barrel roll last night. She was just lying there playing with a dead lizard that Mist had left around. And then Mist comes by. It's like, hey, where's my dead lizard? And Tinny was like playing, then realized that Mist was there and rolled away, rolled to the side, did a kitty barrel roll, and came up on her paws and eyes wide open. Eek. They don't get along just yet. They're occasionally sniffing noses and butts, but then there's an argument. So there's some chasing sometimes. But, you know, Tinny's out here sleeping on her towel. She likes towels. She also likes toast. She doesn't sleep on toast, though. And Mist is on the bed, at the foot of the bed, not being a huggy cat. I thought we were going to get a huggy cat. Oh, well, we need a huggy cat. Anyone got a huggy cat? No? All right. Maybe, Zachman, do you have a huggy cat? Let's find out. Zachman, tell us about the huggy cat.
Isn't your friend Paul in the theater? What's that, Sonny? Is Paul in Acts? Of course Paul is in the Book of Acts. I wish you would stop acting like you are hard of hearing. I wish you would stop asking me stupid questions. Why does someone your age want to spend time in an old people's home anyway? Why aren't you hanging out with your juvenile delinquent friends? Because I don't want to serve my community service with anyone who smells like Axe body spray? Too bad. You could have served it as a stagehand for my friend Paul.
Thank you, Zachman, my juvenile delinquent friend. What are you, hard of hearing? One more? Man, we might get this in under an hour. Then we can go play. We can go play with our juvenile delinquent. Ooh, have we done juvenile delinquent yet? No? Oh, well, hold on. And there. Okay. Adding more to the topic list, and I'll do some research. And while I'm doing research, how about a little story from a far, far off place, far away, so far away, it doesn't matter if you miss the turn, you're going to wind up real far away. But not as far away as is Planet Z.
The time for debate is over, said the president. It is time to act. He then left the podium, went back to his dressing room, and put on his costume. In the meantime, the press secretary handed out programs. After a few minutes, he flicked the lights to let the press corps know it was time to take their seats. 3 hours later, the curtain came down. Some applauded, some didn't. There was much debate about the performance among the press, until one reporter stood up and said, "The time for debate is over." They ran to their dressing rooms.
Hey, folks, that's it for today. Another weekly challenge is in the can. What can? A soup can. Whee! Tomato! Have we done tomato yet? Okay, let's add tomato. There can be some... there's a little hotsy-totsy going around there. So let's type tomato. So that's it for the weekly challenge this week, 371, on the topic of act. Next weekly challenge is going to be on the topic of stage, and then that's going to be it for the whole cycle of theater. And then we're going to move on to some other topics here. I think we've got drink coming up and yellow. So get those pens ready. Scribble, scribble on your keyboards. Thank you to everyone who is a part of this weekly challenge. And week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. I said year in, not urine, okay? And you can go to the site, oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. You can also, if you're in Second Life, I do some readings now and then on Wednesdays. Just Wednesdays. Although sometimes I'm at the Shaunakee Library. I just don't like going other places. Something in the air. Maybe it's something in the water. Maybe it's something in the bubbles of air in the water. I'm not sure. I'm just fading away. And Second Life 10th birthday is coming up. The Chateauatry thing, Second and Life, are words in the word list. So gather something up and let me know. Somebody sent one in today. Simple one, but powerful. Powerful! And that's it. See you all next week. Until then, thank you for listening. And, as always, keep it brief.